on last week ties into our theme today, which is in Christ, we are becoming brand new creatures. Okay? In Christ, we are becoming brand new creatures. And we'll see how that works later on in the message today. I'm going to review the scripture from last week, the main scripture that Pastor Rich talked about. So if you want to turn your Bibles or you can look up at the screens, Isaiah 43:19. Isaiah 43:19 says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." So God is doing a new thing in your lives, in your school, in your work, in your neighborhood, in this church. We may not recognize it right now, but I think for us to truly recognize it, we have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. We have to spend some quality time with God, either through the Word, through worship, through quiet time with other believers. And I think we have to have a positive attitude. We have to really be believing, because this is God's Word, and He says that He is doing a new thing, that we may not recognize it, but we have to go to Him. So what I like to do first is for us to reflect on it through prayer. Sharon's going to play a little background so we can continue this heart of worship. And the first thing I want us to just reflect on is to pray on what new thing that God is doing in your life. And to really seek His face right now. To either just close your eyes and just be isolated. Keep your eyes open, that's fine. If you like to journal, write down a word or two. However you want to express yourself. This circle here, this round here, is for you to be comfortable. Not for you to be uncomfortable that you're too close to me or too close to the worship team. But for us as a church to feel the presence of God. Because I believe and I feel His Holy Spirit is just pouring out. I think as we continue through our service, if you don't feel His peace now, hopefully you will leave feeling His peace in your heart. So right now, let's just take a moment, and I'll just direct us from one prayer reflection to the next. So let's just ask God individually, what new thing is He doing in your life? See, the Lord calls us to wait on Him, to be still and quiet, And for me, I can't connect with him when it's so busy and chaotic in my household, or when I'm freaking out and stressed out. So I'm really feeling that he's saying for us to just sit now, that this time is carved out for us to just sit and seek him. Now, let's pray on what new thing God is doing in your neighborhood. What is he doing in your neighborhood? Because we are called to be good witnesses. We are called to be an example to others in our circle of influence. Wherever we are, wherever we go, God is calling us to be his representative, his ambassador. So let's pray on what new thing is God doing in your neighborhood. You know, is it a neighborhood watch? Possibly he may be putting, just that you should host a neighborhood block party. Or maybe you need to just knock on that neighbor's door that you've lived next to for 25 years, but you've never talked to them. Maybe you don't even know any of your neighbors on your street or in your complex. Or maybe he may be putting in your heart for you to share the love of Christ to somebody that you know in your neighborhood or your complex that you know that they're hurting. Or you hear a lot of yelling or shouting next door. I don't know. But let's take this time right now to reflect. What is God doing new in your neighborhood? That I don't know exactly what he believes, but he's the first one to meet all the new neighbors that may have moved into the neighborhood. He befriends every neighbor, and they usually come over to his house and they hang out a lot. I see them like in his driveway, or he's talking in the street, and sometimes he'll just take his blower and blow everyone's yard and just like clean up their leaves. And he's the first guy to help with like neighborhood projects, because he's really handy. You know, he says he believes in God, but I know he doesn't go to church. You know, I know some of the things he does maybe doesn't reflect Jesus exactly. But I see this love that he pours out, and these neighbors kind of gravitate to him. And I think right now God is putting in my heart that I need to build maybe a better relationship with him. Because he's already won the neighbors over, not through Christ, but through him. And maybe I need to show him more love than I have. So maybe I get to know those other neighbors on a deeper level. And without any agenda, maybe I could shine my light if there's any darkness there. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to, and I know it's uncomfortable. People cringe when we have to form small groups. Not everyone likes groups. You know, sometimes we just want to just chill here and not talk to anybody. It's up to you. But I'm going to encourage you, because we are a church and we are a family, that you just maybe move next to a person or two or three or four. And I'd like you to pray. What new thing is God doing in your school, if you're going to school? Or is God doing at your work? Because God is doing a new thing everywhere. And I don't want you to miss it. But we can't guess. We have to ask. We have to want to see what that new thing is so we can jump in and be a part of God's plan. So if you wouldn't mind, if you feel comfortable, just form whatever size group you'd like to. Just take a minute or two and pray on what new thing is God doing at your school, maybe in your classroom, or at your work, your office. Or if you work from home, you work remote, what is he doing there through your company? Let's do that now. Okay, let's take a moment to just finish your thoughts, prayer. Okay, let's go ahead and move on to this last reflection. Okay, I'd like you to just pray in your same groups on what new thing is God doing in this church? What is God doing in this church that you are excited about? And if you don't know what God is doing, then maybe whatever your group that you're in, you'll be excited to hear what God is doing maybe through them. Because we are the church. So I think sometimes we think, what is God doing in the church? We think of just the church leadership. But I know many of you have some amazing stories that we don't even know about. How God is using you each and every day. And unfortunately, we don't have time to hear people's stories. So I think this is a time to be able to share, you know, what is God doing new in this church through us? So take a couple minutes to share, please. Okay, let's go ahead and bring it back, please. Let me just see a show of hands. How many of you feel that this quiet time was kind of helpful for you to focus on the Lord? I think we need to find that time. You know, and I think worship is personal and prayer is personal. But spending, like we just did, maybe 10 minutes asking God these things, you know, I think we can continue this conversation with the Lord, you know, in our car, you know, at home, wherever we are. But we need to spend, you know, if we want to hear, if we want ears to hear, then we need to have that quiet time with Him. As we begin the new year, you know, this may be a new beginning for you in something or a new start, but with God, every day is new. Every morning is new. And if you turn to Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, in His Word, it shows how God is, that every day is new to Him. As I read the scripture, follow along with me. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. So every morning, God is pouring out new mercies for us. He's pouring out His grace. He's pouring out His love. To Him, every day is a new day. Every day is a new year. You know, and as we get a new start this year, just think that in God, in his time that every day we can have a new start. We don't have to wait to the end of this year and wait to next year. I'd like us to turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17. The scripture here really will, I think, answer some questions about the theme of our message today, that in Christ we are becoming brand new creatures. So in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the scripture reads, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun." And I'm going to read the Message translation to you that really explains this in a very contemporary way. "Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone, a new life burgeons. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him, and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he is doing. We're Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you." So my question is, so how are we becoming brand new creatures in our relationship with Christ each and every day? Are we making an effort to? Because what the scripture says is, because we have Christ in our life now, because of those of us that know him, that walk with him, that are saved, that are born again, that he's become our Lord and Savior, that we are not the same anymore. That our hearts and our desires and our actions slowly start to change and line up with his will, with his plan for each one of our lives, uniquely, genuinely, and individually. That good news is what we need to be sharing to others through our faith and our examples and what we do. It may just be neighborly, reaching out to neighbors. It doesn't mean that we have to go on a mission trip overseas to share Christ's love. Because God is doing something new every day in our lives. Matthew 4:16, I think, really epitomizes maybe what our call to action is. Taking our theme of being brand new creatures in Christ, I think this scripture here tells us what we got to do. Matthew 4:16 says, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death casts its shadow, a light has shined." So when Jesus was traveling through Capernaum to Galilee, he saw a large group of Gentiles. And the Gentiles saw Jesus in that great light was him. That great light is in each one of us. And in this scripture, God has called us to shine that light. And what better way to shine that light is for us to go find the darkness. Where is that darkness that we can shine the love of Christ that we have in our hearts? We may have this much love right now, and that's okay. We might have this much love, and that's great. Whatever we have, whatever amount of love that we have in our heart for Christ, we got to shine it, and we have to find that darkness. We can either go, if it's on our heart and in God's plan, like Dana did, to Rwanda and shine her light and love on those people that are in need, that are going through human trafficking that Dana has on her heart through forced labor, through fair trade, or Fionn going to Uganda and seeing a need to help provide clean water for people that don't have that right to be drinking clean water. You know, it could be Les, who has a heart for the homeless, for those that are down and out, you know, at City Team. It could be whatever that we have in our heart where God wants us to go to shine a light. It could be going to the next door neighbor that is having some difficulty and shining our light. We, as a church, need to find the darkness so Christ can be glorified. Through fighting injustice, through community service, through serving others, we show how much we love God. We show that our faith and action are one. And we show the community and we show others that we do this because of the Lord, not because of ourselves. Sometimes it's difficult to figure out, okay, God, how are you using me? What new thing are you doing inside of me? We reflected first through prayer, you know, what new thing is God doing in my personal life? And sometimes that's difficult to see. It's big. It's hard to wrap our minds around such a big concept, especially if we don't have maybe passion right now or energy or the strength. But I think we have to remember that it's not about our flesh. Our flesh is weak. We get tired, we get sick, we get broken down, we get discouraged. But it's through God. And when it's through God, he empowers us. And he gives us the strength. He gives us the health. He gives us the passion. He gives us that burning desire to do something to make a difference in this world. I usually attend the Willow Creek Summit Conference every August, because I love hearing these amazing stories about people that are doing awesome things for God and that are helping others in the world. And every conference I go there, I'm praying, okay, God, inspire me. Who do I partner with? What do you want me to do? You know, I want to do more than what I'm doing now. And I want to do it in your name. And so 3.5 years ago, I heard this speaker, Gary Hagen, who is a founder of IJM, International Justice Mission. And he spoke on how he changed his whole lifestyle, how he was a well-known prosecutor in D.C., how God put in his heart to go after the perpetrators of human trafficking, modern day sex slavery as well as forced labor, and how he uprooted his whole family, his four children, his wife, to move overseas and to start this nonprofit. And this was about 11 years ago. I read his book, Just Courage, right after the conference. And I was really kind of in a flux for maybe 6 months. Like, wow, you know, I'm feeling that I should help in this human trafficking injustice, but what do I do? And maybe you're thinking, hey, you know, there's something that's on your heart, but it's so big. I think we got to take small steps, no matter what passion God puts in your heart. But I think we have to do something. For me, it was educating myself and praying and then proactively finding out who were the major players instrumental in fighting human trafficking. And then meeting them first online through Facebook and then meeting them in person. What are you doing? How are you doing it? How do I get involved? What can I do to help? And that was me 3.5 years ago. I didn't know what to do, and I was frustrated because I knew God wanted me to do something in this area of human trafficking. And human trafficking basically is taking the rights away from individuals because another group has more power, more money, more influence. Taking advantage of them, not paying them for the work that they do, the honest work they do, or forcing young girls, boys, into sex slavery, forcing them to have sex with people and not getting paid and not even getting out of that horrible environment, being trapped and brainwashed. Taking away people's human rights is what human trafficking is about. But there's so many different injustices. It's not just about human trafficking. There's so many things. And we are God's hands and we are his feet. And we are the hope of this world. The church has to be the hope. And we are all passionate about something. You know, for me, by doing the research and the prayer and God putting the passion in me, led me to use my creative gifts, which was, after a while, something that was just a no-brainer, to use my gift with filmmaking and art to spread the word about human trafficking and bring education and awareness. So I had the opportunity to make some projects that could bring the art and film community together. And I just want to show you in a moment just a trailer of my film, Hark. And this is a year-long project. It started to be conceived last March, and the film will be released this March. And a trailer is just kind of a short clip of kind of a teaser of what the film is going to be about. But it's a fiction film, a narrative that's about a guy that has to make a choice. He's lived a selfish life. It's always been about him, but he has to make a choice. You know, if he lives this life of greed and selfishness, then he is putting a young girl in danger of human trafficking. But if he rises above it and he doesn't think about himself, then he can end up saving a life. And that's what this film is about. So let me just have us roll the trailer. It's only 1 minute long for you to see how God is moving. This is all God moving through this film.
It's really nice to see you.
Yeah.
I just want to see how you're doing. Just want to see how things work.
So, are you okay?
Yeah.
Doing this to me?
Look, I swear to God, it's not going to be the same. I'm not that guy anymore.
too late.
Please, let me work it off. Get in.
This is your responsibility. You take care of it.
Remember, you do this until she makes enough money to pay off your debt.
What do I do when we get there?
So this is more than just a film. This became a ministry, how all this came together, that God provided the money, the resources, the talent, the crew. It became a huge undertaking. It involved Santa Clara University, where I'm a professor, where the school was able to give me a grant for part of the funding, and just all the people that came in. I really believe God brought those people in, not just to make a movie, but part of my crew came from L.A., from the film industry in L.A. and from San Francisco, and most of the people all worked for free. And the reason when they worked for free is when they read the script, they wanted to come behind something such as human trafficking that's making a difference. They didn't care about getting paid. They lost money on this project. And 3/4 of them are unbelievers. But they just felt something, they saw something, and they wanted to be a part of this. And God was on the set every day. This whole process, he's still working and opening doors. And the hope is not just to show this movie once. The hope is to partner with human trafficking organizations like Not For Sale, IJM, Hagar, a bunch of agencies that hopefully will distribute this film that can spread awareness. Also using this film to go into churches, to speak, to go into middle schools, high schools. See, I see huge movements. I see God doing a new thing right now through human trafficking. There's been more coverage through CNN. People are talking about it. There's much more awareness. And God's moving through other causes as well. We just have to, whatever we're passionate about, we'll start to see where he's moving. I was really inspired, you know, about this conference, Passion 2012. And Passion 2012 is a group that started in 1995 by a man named Louis Giglio. And he graduated from Baylor, and his whole thing was college students are the perfect age to tap into and empower them to love God. And this conference here focused this year on human trafficking. Every year it focuses on some kind of human rights event. And there were 42,000 people at the Atlanta, Georgia Dome. If you look at the screen, these were how many college students were there. 42,000 18 to 25-year-old students. Their goal was to raise $1 million. They ended up raising $3 million from college students in 4 days. That the college students that were there and those that called in online donated $3 million to go to different kind of projects to end and prevent human trafficking. I mean, when I saw this, you know, and I went online and I listened to some of the live feeds and the podcasts, it was quite amazing. It was a huge concert, too. I mean, they had David Crowder Band play. They had Hillsong. They had Chris Tomlin. Francis Chan spoke. I mean, they had amazing speakers and worship leaders there. And I was so encouraged by this generation that loves God so much that they're out there looking and believing that God is doing a new thing in their lives and that they are new creatures in Christ. And if you go on the website, it's probably just passion.com, you'll see just all the tweets of just what people are posting, how excited they are. The one slogan that they were using, "Together we are a force for good." You know, I started to just look at this and meditate on what does this mean? Together we are a force for good. And it's so biblical that together as a church, we can make a difference in Christ's name. That we in this room, no matter if you know what you're passionate about now, if you know where to shine that light or you don't, it doesn't really matter yet. But if you're willing, if you're hopeful, if you're expecting God to move through you and in you, he will. They had a huge 103-foot statue outside of the Atlanta, Georgia Dome. And this hand symbolized freedom. And it's constructed of all the things that are manufactured through human trafficking. Soccer balls, Christmas ornaments, things that people are forced into labor. And then students would write things, positive messages that went up on this hand here. And this hand is so ginormous that I guess if you were there, it must have been very overwhelming to see. I want to close here with this scripture here. And I want you to close your eyes as I read this. Because as we pull this whole message together, that because we have Christ in our life, because he's our Lord and Savior, we are new. We are a new creation in him. Our thinking, our ways, hopefully are changing. And that he is doing something new. And I'm excited what he's doing in this church. So close your eyes here. Proverbs 31, 8 through 9 in the New Living Translation says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice." Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just reign in each one of us right now. That we would be filled, Lord God, with passion and excitement, expecting you to move through us this year. Lord, I just pray, Lord God, that we would be able to share just our stories with one another, to commune with one another, Lord God, because you are alive and you're moving in an awesome, loving way through our church. In Jesus' name, amen.